Katie, in a room, just see, because I thought I had them in here with this, and I only walked from there to here, so they're somewhere. Thank you, darling. Okay, so yeah, 10 years ago, I was 40 when I came here last time. So y'all know what I am now. And yes, just pray for me as I'm accepting being 50 years old. So yeah, but it's really neat to come back, and I see familiar faces, and I love the snow. I hate snow at my house, which we never get, do we? It's usually, oh, thank you. Now I know what to talk about now with my glasses. But it's so beautiful. I've been sending pictures to some people at home, and they're like, did they cancel? Like, are you able to get there? Do you have warm clothes? And I'm like, y'all, this don't faze them. This is not. At home, like, we would be shut down. Whole town shut down. I mean, that out there is a blizzard to us. And we would just be, please, Lord, help us survive the blizzard of 2020 in Anderson. Yes, yes, milk. I don't know why milk and bread. I always send my kids out for like Oreos and all the good stuff. But it is beautiful. It is beautiful here, and it just, I'm really glad to be here. Glad the flight went through. It was a perfect flight, and I love being with God's girls. I do. And I will just say, this group reminds me very much of my father's church. He did an inner city church plant in Philadelphia. And in that church, we had about 20 different nationalities. In my dad's church, and it was beautiful. And so I feel like I'm back home again, and I just see all the and hear the beautiful accents. And so in the South, it's not quite that way. We'd love it to be that way, but it is the South. And so just so glad to see all of you. I also have found out that there's quite a few churches represented here, which I'm really glad. I'm really glad about, and I'll tell you that why later. Stand if you're from this church. If you're from this church. Okay. Very good, very good. You got a good showing from your church. Okay, so those of you that are from this church, what's the name of this church? Okay, I thought it was a school. Lake County Baptist. All of you have the responsibility to pass this info on in whatever sphere you have. You've just been commissioned, okay? Now have a seat, okay? Let's start over here. Who is this all one church? Yeah. And who, Donna, do I know you? Have I seen you in other places, though, other than here? In my dreams. Because I just look at you and I feel like a home feel, or I've known you longer than just one time. So, Donna, are you the representative of this group? They're all looking at you. Yes. Okay, so, Donna, would you please stand and tell us where you're from and all that good stuff?
Our church is called Redeemer Baptist Church from Chicago.
From Chicago. Wonderful. Thank you so much for coming. Yes. Chicago, that sounds so glamorous. Chicago. Like, do you see Oprah all the time?
She's not here anymore.
Oh. Did you ever see her? Okay. Okay. Thank you for coming. Okay. There were some at this table who stand up if you don't go to this church.
I am from this church.
Yes, I know.
But I'm not from this church anymore.
Yes. Yes. I think I know your worship leader.
I think maybe.
Yes. Yes, I think I have. Now, what are you doing here? You miss the snow visiting. Okay. Ruth, do you hate me for doing this to you? Ruth, where are you from, darling? Wisconsin. And what church do you go to? Falls Baptist Church. I'm so glad you're here, Ruth. Okay, you're the one and only representative of Falls Baptist, so you got a lot on you. Okay, back table. Anyone from another church or just another area? Y'all here. Okay, good. Over to this church over here. I know there's some at the back table over here. What is it, Bethel Evangelical? I remembered, even though I'm 50. Okay, Carol, speak for your group. Speak for your group. Who's your group? Have your group stand. Stand up. Yeah. Yes. DESPLAINES. Okay, I love how she says it. That is not how I taught it in second grade, but I'm from the South now, so, but you say it much prettier, and I'm so glad you're here. Yes, and I love, how do you say your name again? Germany. Isn't that beautiful? That's beautiful. Okay, anyone else at that table that's not from this church? Okay, this table. Okay. You don't look 50 at all. You look like 29. Oh, you're my new best friend. Yay. Yes, yes. Hold on. So your husband's dad is her pastor. Very good. Okay, do you, August? Okay. And wiser.
No, I think so.
I think we could be friends, Linda. I'm glad you're here. This table?
Oh, you missed one.
I missed one. Yeah, no, it's not. If I can embarrass someone.
You missed two because Sarah needs to stand up because she's not part of our church directory, so she's not part of our
church. Oh, Sarah. Let me pull you out from the bus she just threw you under. Sarah, because we've already talked, honey, I'm just going to let you sit there. You've already been traumatized. Precious Sarah, because you're not 50 yet, are you? Not at all. Not at all. She's our baby today. Go ahead, Karen. Your connection, wonderful, wonderful. And all of you are here? No.
Come on now. We're going to get called out.
Gloria, stand up, girl. Oh, that looked like it hurt. It is hard getting old. It is.
Although, I tell you, 50 was a difficult one. 60 was easy because it says, I'm this much closer to
you. Oh, and Jesus.
I'm from Bible Baptist Church in Walkers, Indiana.
Okay. Yay.
My daughter's your daughter. Yes. She moved back here from California to be close.
Whoa, a California girl. Did you have earthquakes where you lived?
Apparently, I never felt that.
Oh, did you have fires?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why do people live in California?
I don't know either.
I have no idea why someone would live in California. Okay, so great. I didn't even count that, Amy. Like, what is that? Like seven, maybe six or seven churches in just a group like this, which this is how I think. I don't think of that I've spoke to, 40, 50 women. I'm thinking, okay, 50 women times one. If you share it with one person, that's 100. If you go back and share it to your churches with at least 10, I mean, these things could go to hundreds of women, okay? Because I love to share what I have. If you want my notes, I give notes. I don't hoard that stuff, so anything I can do to help you. Okay, I do want to know this. Are there any licensed counselors in this group? Okay. What'd you say, Amy? Okay, well, see, this is the thing. We have some laws in South Carolina, but they may be different in Illinois, okay? And so if I should say something that maybe you would even know about reporting things or stuff like that because you're associated with a school, just correct me if I say something that's incorrect, okay? So, yeah, maybe a little different. You know, every state has different rules on scenarios, and it's good to have a little bit of awareness of those things these days. So, well, let's do this. Let's just pray, and let's just ask the Holy Spirit that's inside each of us that are believers to take these truths and these practical things I'm going to give you and help us to absorb them into our spirit and then give us the courage and the boldness to spread it out to everyone. Father, we praise you because you are a good, good Father. We worship you because you are holy and just. You are love and you are truth. You are righteous. Why we're not on our faces on this floor before you, I don't know. Our pride, maybe. That's what you're worthy of. So as you are penetrating this gym, in this town, in this little speck of the world, may we just draw into your presence. May we put aside, truly, all the stuff that we women have, and know that you, God, in eternity past, planned for this day to take place, these women to be here, this vessel to teach a few things. May we have ears to hear and hearts to receive. May we not, like we do so many times, get some truths, get some handouts, shove them somewhere, and never really use what we've learned. May we take what we're being given today and use to build your kingdom. Holy Spirit of God that lives inside those of us that are believers, you give us courage to do these things. You provide the wisdom, Holy Spirit, needed in the moment. You provide the words in the moment. You provide the scenario of one woman talking to another woman about our Savior, the problem solver, the healer. And you do something from the words of one woman to the heart of another, and then back to the other. And there's something that you can do in that. That's miraculous. So I ask you, Holy Spirit, to take what we've learned and give us the vision and the passion to spread. It's in your name, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Okay, so let me just get like a few silly things out of the way. I am glad that you're doing this. What you're doing is you have taken a Saturday to equip yourselves to serve other women. That is no small thing. That is no small thing in the day we live in when there are at least 10 other things you could have been doing today. But you said, you know what, I'm going to go to this thing, I'm going to brave the blizzard of 2020, and I'm going to learn how to help women. So you're equipping yourselves to invest in another person's life. Our churches, ladies, are in desperate need of a woman, a young lady, no matter how old, whether somebody's wife or in a position or not. The church is in desperate need of each individual believing woman knowing how to be in a scenario with another woman and give truth in love. I don't know. I know my culture in Anderson, South Carolina. And Amy was saying it's not much different here. Don't you agree with me that things are getting ucky? I mean, I don't know. My father started pastoring when I was 7, and so I've been in this type of life and setting almost my whole life. But I'll tell you what, in the last 10 years, problems, issues, situations have gotten so deep and so murky and so evil and immoral and just, what do we do? And as she said, like, a woman's not going to call the pastor per se for a female issue. What they tend to do is maybe go to the one woman or the two women in the church that kind of do that stuff. You know, if you're that woman in the church, you know, like I do, it's overwhelming. You can't possibly, even if you're in a church of 40, 50 people, you can't possibly be the only woman that another woman can come talk to. There's not enough time. There's not enough time. And so we need to equip every woman that is a believer to be able to do what we're talking about today. The one thing that I found that why most women don't do it, and I've asked hundreds of women through the last few years, why they don't do this thing of like stepping into other people's lives, or instead of just, you know, them dealing with a scenario, passing it off to someone, is because they lack the confidence to know what to say. Let me just kind of put this in front of you right off the bat. 1 Corinthians tells us as believers that our competence, and that word there in 1 Corinthians means adequacy. Our adequacy comes from God. It don't come from us anyway. So I don't, you know, if you were a licensed counselor, if you were a pastor's wife that has all kind of, you know, teaching and education with this in her past, that does not make her adequate. God makes us adequate. God makes us adequate. So if you are a believer and you have the Holy Spirit of God living in you just like I do, you're adequate. You're adequate. So that excuse is pushed to the side. So why did Amy ask me to come and talk about these things? I'm not a licensed counselor, by no means. I am not even formally educated in this counseling world. I will say this, though. Back many years ago when I realized that this was something that was happening, like women were having scenarios and life problems and they needed someone to talk to and they would start coming to me, I realized, Deanna, you better start doing some work to figure out what to say and what not to say in situations. Because what you say or don't say could have huge consequences, and that's why it's so scary. So what I did was I started just going to conferences. Some were church conferences. Some were big conferences from the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'd go out there and I'd get to sit in classes of some of our top Christian counselors, learning some things. I grabbed every book I possibly could. And this was 25 years ago when this started. And so I didn't have like Lifeway back then. Do y'all even have Lifeway up here? So y'all were kind of like there was no big Christian bookstore with a plethora of books. This was like going and like finding a one or two little sources here and there. I was just a church girl, just like you. So that's why I feel as if I am competent to come speak to you guys. Because if I came in as a licensed counselor, you know what y'all would walk away and say? Well, of course, she's a licensed counselor. If I had degrees in psychology, and I'm, you know, my degree is in education. I was a school teacher, Christian school teacher. So that's what, you know, and that'll give you a, that'll give you some hands-on experience in psychology, will it not? Yes, okay, so, you know, if I came in and had some degrees in certain things, Y'all would walk out and say, well, yeah, of course she does that because she's all degreed and everything. Uh-uh. You have no excuse. I'm just me, BC student, you know, elementary education school teacher that God said, okay, you're no longer going to work with them. You're going to work with the women that birthed them. I needed to figure some things out. My first scenario of this was a young woman in my church, and I had just started that church right out of college. And so we'd been there a few years and had a couple, you know, had my little ones by then. And this young lady comes up to me. She had a newborn and then a two-year-old, and I remembered that. She came to me, and she's like, I need to talk to you. I just don't think I'm going to survive this. And I said, you will. You will. This will pass. The reason I was able to say that is because I was just a few years ahead of her. And that's key, because all it takes to help someone is just to be, whether it's a few years ahead of them or having walked down a path that maybe they've walked, just someone that knows a little bit more than she does about a situation. How often is it women, especially us, that will be like, oh, I would love to go to that event or that thing, but I've never been there before. I've never done it by myself. Like this time when I came here, I flew by myself. I was fine. Last time I came here, I came with a friend. Because at that point, I'd never really flown by myself or traveled by myself. And so this time, I've been there, done that now. I have flown numerous times. So if someone, like when my daughter needs to fly somewhere, she's like, Mama, please come with me. I've never done this by myself. It's like when you go to a new doctor's or a hospital and someone says, oh, come here. I've been down that road before. Come with me. And you immediately get this sense of comfort and security. All of us are able to give that to someone. All of us. It does not matter. And the beautiful thing about the body of Christ is this. Every single one of you have had your own unique journey. And you've experienced things in life that there will be someone else that God can place in your path that you kind of match up in some way. So, that's why we're going to talk about the things we're going to talk about today. When someone comes to us and we just start talking, my goal as a woman of the word, your goal as a woman of the word, a believing woman, is to somehow bring in the spiritual. Because I believe that's the basis for everything. I believe it's the basis for everything. And so what we want to do is we want to listen to their story, and we want to somehow be able to bring the spiritual into it. Well, that's where we then lose some more women. Because who in here says, well, I am spiritual enough to lead someone else? Well, if you're sitting there thinking, yes, I'm spiritual enough, maybe you're not. If you're sitting there thinking, oh, never me, never me, I could never. Nah. See, both of those are pride issues. You kind of want the one in the women that's like, you know what? God's been good to me. He's taught me some things. I don't know everything, but I'm willing. That's who we want. Because this one over here, that is Deanna, I am that woman at our church. And well, I wouldn't ever send a woman to that person. Never. Because she's going to be a little judgy. Mm-hmm. Why ain't you like wonderful like me? Yeah, no women goes to her. And then you got the ones that are just so, woe is me. And I'm like, oh, mercy. I dare not send her to her because she's just a basket case herself. So there is an element here that we need to be at a good spiritual place in our lives, but we don't need to be perfect. We don't need to be perfect. You don't need to have gone to Bible college. Some of you, how many of you have been in a church longer than 5 years? Raise your hand. You've been in any church longer than 5 years. Okay, how many of you have been in a church longer than 10 years? Been a church girl longer than 10 years. 15. 20. Don't be bashful. We're church girls. 20 years. You've been in a church. Church life. 20 years. 30. You know what? We got a room full of women that are very equipped. I call them blueberry girls. Who knows who the blueberry girl is? What movie? Oh, come on. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Okay, do you remember Blueberry Girl? She just kept putting in, and she's Blueberry Girl now because it's all in her. That's what we've done in church. All of us have been in church longer than 5, 10, 15, 20 years. We have all this stuff in here. Oh, but I could never speak to someone. I that's not my gift. Okay, well, what I like to do is just throw all that stuff out. We just women that need to help other women. Okay, so let's get into this stuff. Okay, what I want you to do is on that little card that you wrote, like all your numbers, and by the way, if you're single, you get 100 points. Okay. You're welcome. I know, but now you have 105 because you are single. I'm sorry, married women. I'm just full of prejudice to the single girls. I am. They are the MVPs of any church. They're not just free babysitting. That's a whole nother lesson I teach on. But so we need to get a prize for all of those that now have 100 and some points because they beat everyone. Okay, this is what I need you to do. I am here for you today. I'm not here to come and wax eloquently about whatever. I'm here to help you that when I fly back to my 60-degree weather tomorrow, sunny and 60 degrees tomorrow, that you'll be here with your Uggs and your parkas, and you'll know what to do. So this card here, by the end of the second session, so kind of during lunchtime, I think lunch is after the second session, I want you to write any questions that may come to your mind. Because this is a thing about what I'm teaching today. There is no way I can give you everything you need in 3 little hour sessions for every scenario or every situation you may have faced or will face or you think about, fears or whatever. So if you want to write down a question for me, by all means do it, okay? And then in the third session, I'll try to address those because I want to help you, okay? So as I'm teaching, if something comes to your mind, write it down, okay? The other thing is, all these papers I give you, I know what tends to happen with papers. Yes, especially if you're a mother of any children, or a wife of a husband, okay? It can be very similar, okay? They shove down or put somewhere in a pile. Am I speaking truth here? I'm speaking truth here. This is what I started doing many, many years ago in my early 20s. I started making files. Now, I'm not talking about computer files, because that's good if you want to transfer this to computer files, but you know, what I want you to do is I want you to get a folder when you go home. It doesn't have to be cute, okay? Don't get all OCD on this, okay? Just get something, put this stuff in there, and put counseling women on it. So that when you start praying and saying, God, I'm willing, and then he sends you someone, you know where to go to get some stuff, okay? And what you do is you start building your file. I also suggest, as much as I love to buy hair products and makeup and clothes and shoes and jewelry, I love to buy books. Invest in good tool books, okay? A tool book is a book that you don't have to, like, read all the way through. You can just go to a chapter and get help for a specific thing. Okay, and I'll talk about that in the last one. So that's something I wanted to get out of the way also. Okay, how many of you have had this happen? I need to talk to you. Or you just happen to be talking with someone and they're like, they kind of throw up all over you some things. Or you know someone struggling with something, and you know you ought to go to her. You just like, what do I do? I dare say that's happened to probably all of us in some way. In some way. It may be a sister. It may be a friend. You know, it's getting to be like that a little bit more in our culture. Those of us over 50, we're very quiet and hidden about our stuff. And what I say to that is, if you are over 50 and you've gone through some stuff, you better start sharing it so you can help the younger generation. Throw away all this nonsense, like private family secret stuff. It's killing us. It's killing the church. Some of you over 50 have had abortions way back, and you have never told anyone. Some of you were raped. Some of you have been abused by husbands or fathers or uncles, and you've never talked to anyone about that. What I say first is talk to someone about it, work through some stuff, use your story. God gave you a story. And as much as some of that story may be painful for you, He allows everything for a reason and a purpose. What if that purpose is to give that testimony? And now younger women in your sphere of influence can come to you and say, that was me. That was me. I went to a school in Greenville, South Carolina. It wasn't Bob Jones. It was a smaller Bible college. There was a woman there that was very trumpeted. At that time, and this is probably 25 years ago and 30. Whew, I just made myself 60. That can't happen. Okay. We heard Margaret Stringer, a missionary, single woman missionary that was to one of them third world countries or something. And oh my, she was like, oh, Margaret Stringer. She was that woman. Well, now she was in her late 60s. She had to come off the field, early 70s. And in her early 70s, she had a young girl contact her and say, I'm your granddaughter. It was the son that when she was 15 years old, she got pregnant. Back in those days, that was extremely shameful. And her parents sent her away to have that baby, and she never saw that little boy. Well, that little boy was the father of this girl that was calling. He had passed away a few years earlier, and she started looking for her family. And so Margaret Stringer, who was this revered, godly, and very godly missionary woman, she had to share that story at 15 years old. And at 15, she was called to missions. Good girl, just got in some trouble. And she's written a little booklet about the story of what happened to her when she was 15, and it's being used now in ways she never dreamed of. She just thought she was coming off the mission field. She came into American culture, shared that story, and found her a whole new mission field of young women that have been through the same thing. Don't you waste your story. Don't be selfish with your story and keep it all secret. Get the help you need, go through counseling, and you share your story. Let's get back into this. What did I do with my glasses? There they are. Okay. Sometimes we have a lady in a church, young woman, older woman, and you know the thing, we're all fine. Oh, good morning, how are you? Fine, good, great, fine, we're all fine. And then, like, they're suddenly not there anymore. And you find out they weren't so fine. Get to know the people around you more than just the surface layer that's here in front of you. We don't do that in church. Because usually by the time they left the church, her personal life is probably in such dire straits. Her marriage may be a wreck behind closed doors, and she has no idea what to do. Because heaven forbid it come out. Or she may do something like attempt to kill herself. Ladies, I don't know when we're going to stop doing it, but one of these days we better quit playing little church girl and get serious about loving and caring for people. And that's what we're going to talk about. So if we're not licensed counselors, who gives me the authority to do this? Who do you think you are, Deanna? Who do you think y'all are? I'm a child of God. My authority is given by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords of this earth, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who has placed inside of me his spirit and then wrote me a letter and said, Deanna, grow, get knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and then go help people. It's kind of like the verse, if you look at your pages there, you have four little worksheet pages. I did them on individual pages, so on the back you could scribble anything. But I have four verses up there at the top. Hebrews 10, 24, and 25. 10 years ago, I left teaching and started a nonprofit in my community where we offered biblical counseling to women in our community. We had four counselors that donated their time, and we would disciple, we mentored, we trained. We did all kinds of things to help women in our community. Because Hebrews 10:24 says, consider. I want you to think about that word, consider. When you consider something, you kind of like waller in it for a little while. You think about it. When you consider taking a vacation, you talk about it, you plan, you prepare for it. When you think about having someone over for dinner or planning a meal, all type of planning, the preparations, the tools you get. I find that we do planning for a gazillion things except spiritual things. We just kind of like that, kind of like whatever. That's a whole other lesson too, like a spiritual growth plan. Plan to grow spiritually. So when it comes to this, the writer of Hebrews is saying, ladies, believers, really think about, consider, plan, prepare how you're going to stir up each other. Stir up each other. Well, stir them up to what? Because, Deanna, as I know, we women, we have no trouble getting stirred up. Yeah, it's usually about the negative stuff, ain't it? Stir up each other to love and good works. So I am to consider, think about, study, pray about, prepare how I can stir up in that heart of yours, just stir up in you how to love, how to do good works. And that's not just because like I'm a pastor's wife. I would do this if my husband was a garbage collector. We are told as believers to consider how to do these things so that, in Hebrews, we can come alongside of one another as we live out and walk this journey of faith. And I think you would agree with me, it ain't easy. If your journey of faith has been easy, you just ain't living for Jesus the way you ought to be. If you just, oh, that's great, this is great. Yeah, I just come to church and sit and everybody does everything for me. Well, yeah. When you're in there, when you're in it, it's not easy. And so my job and your job for each other is to consider how we can do this for each other. Now, I'm going to give you some disclaimers. Here they are. Number one. Giving any type of counsel to a child or young person under the age of 18. If you give counsel or advice to those under the age of 18, you can have serious consequences for yourself and your church. If that teen or child and or parent should not like what you said to that person. There are legalities that she needs to be aware of when counseling teens or young people. You know it. We live in a day where someone will sue you for breathing wrong. I don't know if you've heard of John MacArthur, Grace to You Ministries. I think it's in California. And, you know, probably about 15, 20 years ago, one of his teen young men came, wanted to talk to him, and he gave him some biblical counsel. The parents did not like the biblical counsel. The boy ended up going out and killing himself. Well, they blamed John MacArthur for this, and they attempted to sue Grace to You Ministries, and they were not covered with insurance. And he said they almost lost the entire Grace to You Ministries because of this. We need to be wise about these things. If you're a children's teacher, if you're a youth pastor's wife, and you're talking, be very, very careful what you tell someone under the age of 18. Because when they go back and tell mama and daddy in a different context, maybe even misconstrue your words even, they have every right to sue you. Be careful. The next disclaimer. There is a time when a person, an individual, needs to be referred to a professional. Have a list of trusted, licensed counselors in your area. Now you're like, oh, that's the pastor's job. No, Hebrews was talking to believers. Consider, all of us consider these things. If you have someone that comes to you and talks to you about some things that you know are way out of your league, do you have someone trusted? And you're like, well, I'm not going to send them to a secular psychiatrist or counselor. So do you have some Christian licensed counselors that you can send them to? You have to. Every church needs to know of two or three. And you better know that even though they're licensed, they cannot really go down a biblical path with things if they're licensed. But they won't be so far gone in some of the depths of worldly philosophy. We have mental illness. I'm just not real sure what to do about it right now. We have three young girls in our church that have been diagnosed mentally ill. And I'll tell you what, these girls are crazy. They are crazy girls. They will just lie and spread rumors and just do all kinds. And I said, Jeff, do I need to start a class for the mentally ill women now? I mean, are we at that point? Mental illness is on the rise. You better know some people that you can send them to. Suicidal plans, if someone talks to you. A lot of people nowadays will say suicide. It's the in thing. Very in. It's celebrated. You don't necessarily always have to report if they talk about it, but if they ever talk about how they're going to or a plan, hands off, you send them somewhere. You send them somewhere. The next thing, know when to report. There are a lot of church, faith-based organizations getting in trouble because they've had people come to them about whether it's sexual or physical abuse that's happened under their umbrella of ministry, and they just kept it hush-hush to save the ministry. Don't you ever be that person that keeps it hush-hush, because you'll find yourself sitting in a jail cell. Well, you know, they came to me, and then I went to the pastor, and he just said, we'll take care of it, and nothing was ever done. You make sure something gets done. Know when to report things. Number four, I am not opposed to medicinal help for medicinal problems at all. I never tell someone to go off their meds, nor do I suggest meds, but I do suggest a doctor's visit if all spiritual areas are being covered and they're still spiraling out of control. You've got this woman, and she's just like, I love the Lord. I'm trying to do the right things. I spent time in the Word. But my mind is just, and these things are happening. Go see a doctor. You may have some medical thing. Why is it we will go to a doctor when things are wrong with our bones our physical heart, our eyes, but when something's wrong in the brain, oh, no, no, no. Just Bible verses. We need to wake up in the Christian community. Now, I also say that in the last 10 years, I've seen women that are Christians, but they're just living the little Christian life, and I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time to do this. I'm just out doing all the little Pinteresty things and all the little wonderful things. I'm just too busy for all that, and they're on 12 different medications. And that's a problem, too. There's a balance. Be very careful. Be very careful. Last one is addiction. I've just come to realize, as I've worked with many women struggling with addiction, you really do need the expertise of people that know how to deal with addiction. Don't mess around with addiction. And if you know of someone that's battling addiction, step into their life and try to get them help. You may not be able to be the one. Mamas are never the one to help the addicted child. Those poor mamas, it's hard. Get the expertise. I will tell you this now, as we move away from disclaimers, most of my experience is with women over 18. There's just something about teenagers that stress me out a little bit, and middle school girls. But I do step into their lives some at our church, but I try to let others do that. I'm mostly women 18 and older. And what I've done as a pastor's wife is I have sat with our other pastor's wives and elders' wives, and I have told them that I've told them these disclaimers. I told them these warnings. Be very careful. Make sure that, like, sometimes you think, oh, we're just a simple little church, and just be careful. You know, we need to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Well, we're doing great at the harmless as dove things, but I don't know so much that we're being wise as serpents. So, next. What should counseling look like? And I'm going to use the word counseling. Don't be afraid of it. Don't think that's just for a licensed counselor, because the word counsel is a Bible word, and we're Bible girls. So if it's a Bible word, we can use it because we're Bible girls. Isn't that wonderful? You're like, no, I liked it better when I could just like send them off to someone else. I know, I get it. So what does counseling look like? Is there a thought of maybe you're gifted in this area? Now, I do give this. I'm not using right now spiritual gift. Okay? As a believer, you need to know what your spiritual gift is, like that, develop it, and be deploying it in the body of Christ. I'm talking about being gifted in an area. There are just some people that across their forehead, it says, please come unload all of your problems to me. Some people say, oh, it's such a blessing how you can help women. I know, it is a curse. It is a curse. Some are just better at this than others. But that does not excuse us, because the Bible gives these commands to all. Why am I someone that's always being placed in a situation where individuals come to me for advice? Are you one of those people? When do I offer counseling, and when do I keep my mouth shut? Now, it's hard for someone like me to keep my mouth shut. It really is. But I'll tell you what, I've been in some scenarios where I'm like, don't you say anything right now. Mm-mm. And it's like, oh, my goodness, I wish I never knew that. I don't know what to say. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut right now. Lord, I need to process this with you. And things are getting more and more that way. Ephesians, that verse at the top. Ephesians tells believers, that's us, speak truth in love so that we will grow. Speak truth. God's truth, not my truth. It really doesn't matter what your opinion is on something or what your personal belief outside of the beliefs of Scripture, because you know what happens to us? We are very influenced by our experiences. So, for instance, we had a woman in our church many years ago, and we were in a little women's study on a Wednesday night, and there was a new girl that came in there, just newly married, and she said, you know, my husband won't let me give financially to the church. And this woman said to her, well, you take it out and you give anyway. Oh, I'm glad at least I heard some, because that means you're thinking properly. Well, here I am, a little 20-year-old something. This was a 50-year-old woman. And I look at my pastor's wife, who's very quiet, and she's looking at me, and I'm like, you're going to make me deal with this, aren't you? You're going to sit there, and you're going to just sit there all sweet and quiet, and you're going to make me deal with this. So I'm sitting like, oh, I'm just going to say the right thing. And I said, ma'am, no. See, the woman that gave her the advice was abused by her husband. And she then hated men. And so even though there were so many areas where she was a very spiritual woman, she saw everything through the lens of hating men. And so 20-something-year-old me had to rebuke in love this 50-some-year-old woman and then say to the rest of the class, darling, you obey your husband. Because in obeying your husband, you're obeying God in this. And you're like, what about the situation? I know. I'm just talking about that scenario. So we need to know how to speak truth and love. The hardest thing for us to do is to keep our stuff out of it. It's hard. Because you will speak from experience. So, Colossians, I have that up there. Colossians says in 3:16, it says that we need to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Why? So that we can teach and admonish one another. Oh, yeah, that our pastor and the Bible women teachers and stuff, like I think you're fixing to do that. Oh, yes, yeah, she needs to let the word of Christ dwell in her richly because she's going to be teaching us and admonishing us. Colossians is written to believers. Every single one of us that are believers, we ought to be letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly. And what I'm finding with most of the women in my generation is they ain't got time to sit, read their Bibles, or study their Bibles. They're just too busy. God understands. I don't know. It's pretty clear. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So these are the basis, these New Testament passages that just, and it's everywhere else, that says, believers, hey, you woman that says you're Christian, you're supposed to be coming alongside, helping others grow, teaching and admonishing. Well, I thought that was just those with the gift of teaching. I'm shy and introverted. There is no introvert clause in here. There's no introvert clause. And I can say that way because I married the introvertist of the introvertist. He drove me crazy. And now he speaks, he preaches. Okay, let's start. I tried to make this cute. First page. You see the little Bible verse in there? She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Does that describe you? That should be our goal. Because I don't know about you, smart aleck and criticism and slander is a whole lot quicker to come out of my mouth than kindness. I was waiting for my luggage last night, and there was a guy standing off to the side. He had this cute little purple T-shirt on. I thought it was a little feminine, like I could have worn it much more cuter than him. But anyway, I loved it because it says, just be kind. That should describe us women. Kind words and wisdom. Okay, some basics here. The best. You see where I'm at? Stick to the basics. Down at the bottom, you'll see page number one. I always get complaints that I don't put page numbers on things, so I put page numbers on this. Okay, page number one. The best counsel is biblical counsel. You can start filling in them blanks. I know women love blanks. We love us some blanks. I tell my husband, do not leave a blank. Because you're going to have 40 women on top of you after the service wanting that blank. The best counsel is biblical counsel. Let me see my little thingy here. 9:30 to 10:30, session one. Okay, it's pee-pee break. Oh, yeah, she doesn't have to pee. Yeah. Okay, yes, I'm going to finish this little section here, and then you'll have a pee-pee break. The best counsel is biblical counsel. Why? I'm going to give you why. You just write whatever you want. The Bible's trustworthy. Now, I love that I'm in the midst of some women that are amening me. I love an amening group of women. I'm all about. You know, white women, they don't amen much. They don't. Yes, I need you to come to my church because my husband needs some ameners. Yes. White men and women, Southern, they don't amen much. Okay. The Bible is trustworthy. It is alive. It is active. It works. It works. It works. It works. Though you may not open the Bible and find your specific situation addressed in the exact terms, the Bible does give us principles that can be applied to every area of our life. The thing is, have you been letting the Word of God dwell in you richly to where you have an awareness of some of those principles? Also under the Bible, best counseling thing is biblical. We will never know all of the Bible. But that is no excuse for us not to be students of the Word. 2 Timothy 2:15, study. Listen, do you know that the Bible doesn't really push this idea of just reading it? We get the concept of reading from Old Testament scriptures where the patriarchs or the leaders would get up and read the scriptures. Do you know mostly why they had to do that? People didn't have it. So then you get to the New Testament where they're starting to have some things kind of pass around and stuff. And now these guys are saying in all the epistles to Christians, study, study it, consider, study it, know it. And so we think we go little church girls because we just read our three chapters. You know what? You're going to struggle to help someone if all you do is just read. You've got to study. Then, biblical counseling values human life, where our world is not valuing human life. Oh, they value the otters and the sharks, but they're not valuing a human life. The Bible values our minds. It values our hearts, our thoughts, our emotions, our experiences. And you know, I know that all you have to do is waller in Psalm 119. And you'll see that all the aspects of the human are addressed in there. It's beautiful. Number two, the best counselor is you. Often. The best counselor is you. Often. You are equipped. You are equipped because God equips you. The Holy Spirit equips you. I can't tell you how many times I've been in a scenario where I'm going and I'm like, oh my goodness, I just don't know what to say right now, Lord. And as I'm sitting there and in my mind, like listening and then praying in my mind, give me what? And then a thought kind of comes in my mind and I kind of go down that. Now listen, you can't depend on just that. That comes from time where I've spent studying, preparing, so I can have things to the Holy Spirit to pull from. It's like the kid that studies for the test or doesn't study for the test. And he's praying, Lord, please give me what I need. And like, honey, you didn't even study the stuff. He ain't got nothing to pull from. You're asking for truly a miracle. If you've been reading and studying your resources and listening to things, the Holy Spirit can bring up these thoughts where your 50-year-old brain can't bring them. What I say here is, He will give as much wisdom as you need for the woman that God sends to you. Don't shy away from someone that comes to you because they are coming to you for a reason. And so often I'll have someone come to me at church. That she came and she wanted to talk to me about this, but I thought we'd just come over to you. You know what I say? She came to you. She came to you. Go talk with her. Set up a time. If you get into it and you need some help, I'll be glad to help you. But God didn't send her to me. Hurry up, call the preacher. Hurry up and call that one woman. Don't immediately send to someone else. Listen to them and be willing to step into their situation and walk with them. And that's where we lose most people. Because I'll tell you what, it's messy sometimes. It's messy. So you are equipped and then you're not equipped. What? Did I contradict myself? Let me read to you. The goal is for every believer to be ready and willing to step into. Like, we should be like this. Here's the line. I'm ready. Just waiting for that gun to go off and say go. I'm ready. We all should be here ready. There they are. All of them are there. I'm ready. Which one? We should always be ready to step into someone's life. We can offer hope. But sometimes those situations may require of you to admit that this is way over your head. And you need to refer to someone with more wisdom in that specific area. Philippians 1, 9 through 11 says, as believers, we are to be increasing in knowledge and discernment, which implies that someone else may be further along the path than you in knowledge or discernment of a particular area. For example, the last 3 years, I have been studying sexual identity, homosexuality. How do we best reach out to those with these issues, and it's getting to be abundant. And so there was a few people that knew I was doing this, and so they came and they said, I had a friend come to me, or my daughter came to me. One of these scenarios, do you think you could help with this? And I'm like, absolutely. I know that mother has no idea what to do. I knew that friend, but this is what I do. I'm going to send you to this website right here, and I want you to order this, 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 and this, and I want you to read up because you need to know what to do next. Do you know what to do when someone comes to you and says, I'm sexually attracted to someone of the same sex? Oh, I know what to do. In the name of Jesus, cast that demon from her. Oh, gracious. Yeah, no. It's a sin, darling. Confess your sin and get right with God. Is that how you want people coming to you about your sin issue? Well, I don't have any of them sexual identity issues yet, but you got pride. Yeah. So, last thing I'll say here. That's when you refer to someone better qualified, then you are able to take the role of mentor in that lady's life and walk along beside her. So what we do is, if the person then comes to me because I have to send them to someone more equipped, then I become a mentor with them as they go talk with someone more qualified. Hey, you want to get together, or you want to just process some of the things you're going through, and I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. So sometimes the best counselor is often you, and sometimes it's not. Okay, let's take a break. Okay? Amy, you tell them what they need to do, time they need to be back, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm.